Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing. Dispelled is the darkness. For there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people making merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid?
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by close people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to discuss these readings. Now, Dawn, I know you did a little bit of research into some of the geography. I am a geography ignorance person. So I, on Main Street in Canandaigua, I have two directions. You can go towards the Thruway and towards Wegmans. That's all I know about geography. But hopefully, I think you've got some more insight than I have on geography.
Well, because it mentions in both the readings, I got a little interested in how everything sort of plays out. We have some two names of regions, Zebulon and Naphtali. And both of these places were originally back when there were the 12 tribes. When they came into the Promised Land, God sort of divided them up and told people, you know, you go here, you go here. And so these two regions, Naphtali and Zebulon, are to the west of the Sea of Galilee, which is like sort of north of where everybody else was, where all the other stuff was going on. So north of Nazareth.
So is that towards the Thruway or Wegmans?
Yes, towards the Thruway. And okay. So we have these two areas, and in our gospel reading we have Jesus going to Capernaum, which they think was at the very north end of the Sea of Galilee, so that would probably be more in the region of Naphtali, who I could be mispronunciate. I can't even say that word.
Mispronouncing.
Yes, thank you. I could be doing that. It's my best guess. So anyhow, so Jesus is up there, and if we look back at the first reading, we have Isaiah saying that that these two regions are in darkness now, and that was because the Assyrians had sort of subjugated them and had taken over. So Isaiah is writing, we're reading about how they're going to be mainly united, and so they're. People are expecting this great and powerful king to come and unite these territories and bring them back into the way that they were intended to be.
That's an important thing we've talked about. I think it was last week where we were talking about the notion of the 12 tribes coming together, and that's what you were speaking of there. And they did also view themselves as having lost favor with God or being somehow exiled because they were in darkness and they seemed to be conquered. They were a conquered people. So that is an important theme that the Jewish people would have been going through. And then in the reading for Isaiah, it talks about seeing a great light, and it's also that same quote is mentioned later on in the gospel, the idea of seeing this great light. The light, of course, we would say is Jesus Christ, who comes to announce the good news and the kingdom of God. Of course, that kingdom turns out to be something different from what the Jewish people were expecting it to be, and actually something different, I think, than even today we really expect it to be. A lot of times, even after having reflected and thought about these readings for 2,000 years, we're still learning new things about what it is to be in the kingdom of God and what it is to say that the kingdom of God is at hand. But one of the messages that we do hear, it's in the gospel reading today, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that seems to be Jesus' continual message throughout the Gospel of Matthew and throughout all the Gospels, really. And it's actually the same message that was first preached by John the Baptist, and then it's preached here. We hear Jesus saying it. And then afterwards, we'll hear later on in the liturgical year, Jesus telling his disciples to preach this same message. So it comes John the Baptist, and then Jesus will say it, and then the apostles will say it. And so it's a real constant theme throughout this gospel, is this notion of we need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Can I stop you there for just a second?
Oh, sure.
I mean, we use that, or we hear that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but maybe a little bit of, what does that mean? That would, for us today, what does that mean?
That's actually, it's an important theme, so it's a good question, Dawn. And what we're really talking about here is saying that through Christ breaking into the world, we've actually begun a new era in history. And most people don't seem to recognize that. They kind of continue going on just like nothing new had happened. But we do say that the Lord God has come here on earth, and because of that, there's been a real change in the reality of the world that causes us to see things differently. We're to act differently. We're to be a different type of people upon hearing this news. And later on in a lot of the parables, Jesus kind of constantly is berating people, saying that this kingdom is at hand, And you people don't even seem to realize that you kind of go on about your daily business and don't even realize that you're living in the kingdom of God. And to live in the kingdom of God means that we have to act certain ways. We have to live our life a certain way. So the kingdom of God, when you say, what does it look like? Well, you know, it kind of looks like your 8-to-5 job that you're sitting at. Or it kind of looks like any of these other ordinary things. It's the images Jesus uses in a lot of the parables is the kingdom of God is like, you know, a mustard seed, it's like a pearl, but it's never anything too out of the ordinary or something that we can't find in our everyday life or in the everyday world that says it's nothing that's out of place. It's right here in the world today. And so when we talk about this kingdom of God being at hand, what we're really talking about is a new reality brought about by Jesus Christ that God has come to visit His people. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has come to His people. And because of that, He's fulfilled the law. He's here to show us how to live our lives and to tell us how to live our lives from this point forward. And that really is doing something new to all of the creation. So, Dawn, I think there was an important question that you asked.
Thank you.
The question that I had was, what does this repent mean? Because that's something we also hear quite a bit in our scripture and in our faith life is this idea of repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And part of that relates into what we were talking about with your question about the kingdom of God and what it means to live in that kingdom of God. And part of that change brought about by God entering into this world is that He has called us to turn away from sin. He's called us to live lives of virtue. And that's what that whole repent part is about. And it's not a one-time thing, as we've since learned, but it's something that's a continual process because we're always in need of repenting. We're always in need of conversion. So there's not a one-time, oh, I've repented and now I can just go on and I'll never sin again. We've learned that doesn't really work for most people.
I usually don't make it out the door.
That's right. So it's something that we have to continually be working at, is this notion of repenting for the kingdom of God is at hand. Of course, another thing that I liked in the longer version of the reading, which I imagine is what they'll do at St. Mary's, I don't know, we have this scene where some of the disciples are called. Jesus calls them to be fishers of men. Of course, they were fishermen, so it's kind of a play on that word there. But really, it's something that all of us as Christians or followers of Christ are called to be, is to be fishers of people out in the world, to bring this good news to the entire world. So part of living in the kingdom means that we also continue to proclaim the kingdom of God.
You know, I love that this part of the reading, because it says they left their nets and followed Him. I mean, they totally just left everything. And to have, I mean, it must have been unmistakable who Jesus was to them, or that He was so dynamic that they needed to leave. And, you know, even though we both are studying, you're studying and I'm working in a church, it's hard to leave our everyday stuff behind in order to follow Him.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that. It does show, again, one of the themes I've mentioned with the Gospel of Matthew is preoccupied with showing us who this person is. And one of it does show that he's a very dynamic character, like you mentioned, that people just all of a sudden will up and leave everything to follow Him. And I think it is also a challenge for us today in our world with so many materialistic things, and we've got so many attachments to various things and so many obligations we take on. The question we have to pose to ourselves is, am I able to leave everything to follow Jesus, or am I even following Jesus? And I think on some level, as you say, you know, you're working at church, I'm sitting here studying theology, we answer yes. But on another level, there's a sense where I'm sure you, just as I am, become attached to various things, and it is very difficult to just come up with this notion of, oh yeah, I could just get up and walk out my door today if Jesus showed up and knocked on it and said, oh, come here.
Yeah, not quite. But I think that's good for all of us to examine periodically, you know, what is getting in my way of doing exactly that, and is there something that I need to let go of? I know there's a teenager that's in my group, and she had a Facebook account, and all of a sudden it disappeared, and somebody was asking her, you know, what happened? Did something wrong happen with it? Or she said, no, I just was spending all my time on there, and I realized that I wasn't even living life. I was addicted to my computer, and so she just totally got rid of it.
Yeah, see, some people have been trying to get me to get these Facebook accounts and what's the other one? There's another one I can't remember.
MySpace.
MySpace, thank you. And I refused to just on that account. I said, I know I'll become addicted. I've seen too many people become addicted to it. That I'm not saying it's a bad thing in itself, but I'm just saying that I know my personality well enough to know I could just get way too involved in that. So I just say, you know, I need to, it's important to live life. So we just finished this week of Christian unity. And I think there's a lot of connections that can be made to this second reading, Dawn, where we have this, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, all of this kind of questioning, you know, who is it that I'm following? I'm from this church, I'm from that church. And we definitely see that, and it's part of the scandal of Christian division, really, because we all are supposed to be in Christ and one in Christ. That was Christ's prayers, that we would all be one. And we do have this division amongst Christians. And it's a very sad thing for Christianity and for all Christians that we do tend to follow this model that Paul seems to berate here in this letter to the Corinthians, saying that you don't belong to Paul or Apollos or anybody else. You belong to Christ Jesus. And it's actually one of the themes of a famous website called workingtobeathell.org, which I run. It's a shameless plug for me. But it is one of the reasons I made that site, is because really, if we're going to be united, we should be united in Christ and against Satan and not against each other. And unfortunately, a lot of times we find in the body of Christ that there is a lot of division. There's tensions between different groups. There's even tensions within Catholicism.
Well, that's what I was,
then we extend that
thinking
to further Christian communities. And it's a very difficult, you know, reality that we're faced with, and it really is a scandal. So it's something I would encourage people to pray over, but also to work for in your own way, in whatever way you can, to bring about some unity. That, of course, doesn't mean we, you know, compromise who we are or our beliefs or anything, but find those areas where we can be united with other Christians.
Well, I think that's a perfect reading for this week, because in the Rochester area, there's a lot of people that are struggling with the fact that their Catholic schools are closing, and in the newspaper and on the radio, you hear people that are being quite rude to either their pastor or to the bishop. And while there's ways you can object to this, we are still one body, and we need to remember that.
And also, yes, that extends the way we would treat people. And, you know, I understand that, too. It's also, it's always a very hurtful thing when the schools or parishes and things are closed. Also, it's to recognize that being part of this body of Christ is we're a body of sinners. The body of Christ, you know, there's the glorified body of Christ, but there's also the sense in which we come together as a group of sinful people. And as a result, you know, decisions are made that hurt some people, but we have to learn to be forgiving. Otherwise, we do even more damage to that body of Christ, as you mentioned. Well, I think that's bringing us to the end of our podcast. We thank you for joining us this week and hope you'll come back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.